This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. On Monday, Pope Leo XIV received in audience a delegation of young Peruvians who have come to Rome to participate in the Jubilee of Young People, which begins on Tuesday, July 29th, with the celebration of Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican. The Jubilee is scheduled to close on August 3rd. In his address, the Holy Father told the young Peruvians that when they were baptized, they became part of a large family of God, the Church. In this family, they can grow and bear fruits, aided by the Lord's grace. Before he was invited by Pope Francis to serve as the prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops, the present Pope Leo XIV was the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Chiclayo in Peru. We have a report.
Quisiera que cuando regresen a Perú inunden aquellas tierras con alegría y la fuerza del Evangelio.
I would like that when you return to Peru, you flood those lands with the joy and strength of the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Pope Leo XIV on Monday told young people from Peru who are in Rome to participate in the Jubilee of Young People. The Holy Father welcomed them as pilgrims of hope, ready to meet thousands of other young people to celebrate the Holy Year event together. Seeing you here, the Pope said, made him also think of their families and many people from their parish communities who have helped them with great sacrifices and hard work to make this long-awaited journey possible. The Lord, Pope Leo reassured them, has willed that we become part of a great family, the family of the Church, incorporated into it, in Christ, like clusters on the vine, he said, we can grow and bear fruit, aided by the grace of the Lord. The Holy Father urged the young people to not keep everything they experience these days as a memory of the past. Please, do not let all this remain merely as a memory in some beautiful photos, he said, but rather transmit Christ once you return home. May everyone you meet, the Holy Father encouraged, see in you the face of Christ, who loves and gives himself, and who remains present in each baptized person. Pope Leo urged them, love and serve freely, in daily life, in what is small and hidden, because you have experienced the joy of being loved first, and because you have received everything freely from God the Father. The backpacks, the Pope noted, that accompany you during these days, carrying only the essentials, he said, are a sign of the mission that the Pope entrusts to you today, namely to be missionaries wherever you go, to be transparent to the presence of the Lord, just as our beloved Peruvian saints were. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
The Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolini has, on behalf of Pope Leo XIV, sent a telegram to the President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Archbishop Fulgence Muteba Mugalu of Lubumbashi, to express his condolences following an attack by Ugandan Islamic militants of the Allied Democratic Forces on Sunday evening at the Church of Blessed Annuarite Parish in the town of Kamando in Ituri province. According to reports, more than 40 worshippers were killed. In addition to killing the worshippers, the militants looted nearby shops and set buildings on fire. Several people were injured, and others were kidnapped by the militants. According to the telegram, Pope Leo XIV has expressed his closeness to the affected families and prayed to God that the blood of those martyrs may be a seed of peace, reconciliation and brotherhood and love for all the Congolese people. The Allied Democratic Forces entered the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo in the early 1990s and established military bases there, from where it has been attacking Uganda and Congolese communities. Ever since, the militants have killed thousands of civilians, often using hatchets and machetes. The group pledged allegiance to the Islamic State terrorist organization in 2019. Bishops from the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences in Eastern Africa, AMECEA, concluded a five-day workshop last Friday in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, in which they reiterated their determination to find solutions to human trafficking and illegal migration. An AMECEA reporter who was present said the workshop began with an in-depth examination of the contextual realities within each Catholic Bishops' Conference and the broader regional perspective on human trafficking. The participants identified national and regional issues, reviewed existing interventions, celebrated successes, and acknowledged challenges, offering recommendations for the way forward. Christian religious leaders in Namibia have appealed to the followers of Christ to shun the emerging culture of lavish burials because they don't have any spiritual meaning. The call was made a few days ago at a seminar held in the capital of Windhoek. Different religious leaders noted that many people want to show off by organizing expensive burial ceremonies for their relatives and friends, while others create WhatsApp groups to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for funerals. One religious leader narrated a story of an elderly man who was abandoned by his relatives when he was sick. He was bedridden for years with no support, but when he died, his funeral attracted large sums of money from the relatives. The religious leaders advised that instead of waiting to show off money after the person has died, it would be more meaningful to pay for the treatment of the person when he or she is still alive, or to use that money to help in various ways the loved ones he or she has left behind, for example, the widow or widower, and orphans who are still too young to support themselves. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The paramilitary group of Sudan and its allies have formed a parallel government in areas under the group's control. These are mainly areas in the western region of Darfur where allegations of war crimes and crimes against humanity are being investigated. Analysts say that the move, which was announced on Saturday, was likely to deepen the crisis in Sudan. The North African country plunged into chaos when tensions between the country's military and the paramilitary rapid support forces, or RSF, exploded into fighting in 2023 in the capital, Khartoum, and elsewhere in the country. The RSF-led Tharsis Alliance appointed General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo the commander of the paramilitary group as head of the Sovereign Council in the new administration. The 15-member council serves as head of the state. Islamic State-backed rebels killed 38 people on Sunday in an attack on a church in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Worshippers were taking part in a night mass when the rebels stormed the church in the early hours of Sunday morning. The assault in Komanda, a city in the northeastern Democratic Republic of Congo, is believed to have been carried out by ADF rebels wielding guns and machetes, according to the United Nations and the military. The attack claimed at least 43 people, including 19 women, 15 men, and 9 children. The ADF emerged in Uganda in the 1990s, accusing the government there of persecuting Muslims, but is now based over the border in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where it regularly attacks civilians of all religions, as well as in Uganda. It has since become part of the Islamic State Central African Province, which also includes a group in Mozambique. In Nigeria, meantime, a boat transporting passengers to a market in the north central region of the country capsized, killing at least 25 people. The Niger State Emergency Management Agency told the Associated Press on Sunday that the accident happened on Saturday near Gomu village in the Shiroro area of Niger State. The agency also said that the boat driver, who was among those rescued, could not confirm the number of passengers on the boat. It said the exact cause of the accident was yet to be determined. The accident is the latest in a series of deadly boat accidents on Nigerian waterways, where accidents are common in remote communities, especially during the rainy season due to overloaded and poorly maintained vessels. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, you can hear more about a simplified version of the final document of the Synod on Synodality launched recently by the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences in Eastern Africa, AMECEA. The book titled For a Synodal Church, the Final Document Made Simple, is intended for use in the 9 member countries of the regional conference, namely Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Zambia, Malawi, Ethiopia, Eritrea, South Sudan and Sudan, with Somalia as an affiliate member. The Synod on Synodality, a 3-year process of listening and dialogue within the Catholic Church, was initiated by Pope Francis in October 2021 and culminated in 2 synod sessions in Rome. On the 26th of October last year, the members of the second session approved the final document. The late Pope Francis approved its publication together with an accompanying note in which he entrusted the local churches with the task of applying the Assembly's recommendations in their own local contexts. To aid the implementation of the Synod's recommendations, the AMECEA region on the 23rd of July launched a simplified version of the final document at the Paulines Africa Communication Center in Nairobi. In his presentation at the event, the Secretary General of AMECEA, Father Anthony Makunde, underscored the need for the people of God in the region to study and understand the document. He emphasized that this implementation phase moves the church from dialogue and discernment to concrete actions that embrace communion, participation and mission at all levels of church life. AMECEA's Social Communications Coordinator, Father Andrew Kaufer, gave this explanation on how to use the simplified document.
When you get this book after the launch, go to page 11 and 12. On page 11 and 12, we explain how to use this document. And we believe at AMECEA Secretariat that if at all this implementation phase will be fruitful, it requires that each and every one of us reads and understands the final document. And not just as a reading, but a spiritual exercise at the level of the individual, at the level of the family, at the level of small Christian community, parish, diocese, but also in our ecclesial associations. When we gather as Legio Maria, as Catholic Women Association or Catholic Men Association, let us use this document. Just as an example, at personal level, I know of a number of people who have chosen to use it for personal reflection during meditation in their morning prayers or evening prayers. A very good book for reflection. At Jumuiya level, small Christian community level, this book provides a clear, easy roadmap on how we can use it for discussions and reflections on pertinent issues which the Synod has brought forward. And as Pope Francis has said, at the level we are, the question is, are we accepting the message about synodality? Are we welcoming the synodal style of being church in our local context? So I would concur with Cardinal Craig, who said in that letter which Father Anton was talking about, that the synodal church will begin with you. Will begin with your small Christian community, and then to the parish, to the diocese, and the time is now. So at the small Christian community level, if you take this book, at the end of each chapter, you'll find questions for discussion. As a family, as a small Christian community, as an association or members of association. And we are proposing three steps. First step, read the document together. At the end of that, reflect together. Use the discussion questions that have been proposed or any other question you want to discuss. And then at the end, the question is, what are we going to do with whatever the synod is proposing? So, as a family, as a jumuiya, as a parish or an association, we can decide on the actions we want to do. Because if we have to be evaluated in 2028, I think we'll be evaluated on the basis of what we have done in the next 3 years. And we don't want our bishops going back to Rome in 2028 and they go and they have nothing to report or share with the other bishops when they meet in Rome. At the parish level, it's the same. This book is now available, thanks to the Pauline sisters. It's now available across the whole Amesea region. It's also available online on Amazon at a very reasonable price.
Father Andrew Kaufer, the head of Amesea's Social Communications Department, speaking before him was Archbishop Martin Kivuva of Mombasa and Vice Chairman of the Commission for Social Communications of the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops. The Archbishop, who participated in the Synod in Rome, reflected on the inclusive spirit of the Assembly, emphasizing that it created space for all the baptized to be heard. He proposed the following 5 concrete actions to aid the implementation process.
From our document, we are being asked to take action. Our Eastern Africa implementation is based on many synodal experiences. I propose we must begin now, wherever we are, through 5 concrete actions. Let us establish synodal teams wherever we find ourselves. It's like, and part of the small Christian community, you may want people who are thinking, how do we implement the synodal way? And the synodal way is where we are saying is every one of us is involved and is actively involved. The second thing, let us institutionalize a conversation in the spirit. During that time in Rome, and even in many places, it was not just lecturing. No, no. You're given 3 minutes, and you stop. Another one, 3 minutes, and you stop. Another maybe 2, and then you sit and reflect, listening from the heart. And as listening, not just listening with your ears, with your heart. So there is that process, which is basically meditative. Some of you may have gone to retreats where the retreat master or mistress or whoever he or she is gives you just one word and spend that one word for a whole day. Of course, it wasn't like a whole day, but you're given moment of reflection, not just talking. We were given that experience. And surely, at the end of it, when you came to do an analysis or rather summarized what this question was about, you find it was not just what you said. It's more than what you said, and in fact may take a new shape and a new way of looking at it. The third element we are talking about here, Let us create where we are. In other words, what we do, create formal recognition and formation programs for lay ministers. You see, when we are in Kenya, we are privileged. We, in the year 2022, after the, just during the time of elections, after we finish our elections, we embarked on electing leaders right from the grassroots. The small Christian community, the solidarities, and it formed a big contingency of leaders. But many of them, unless you form them and tell them what they're supposed to be part of and how to do it, they will just mimic the possibly what they have seen in school, a headmaster of a school. Those old headmasters, not the ones today. The ones today engage in encouraging others. But in the past, I remember when you were late in school, you knew something is going to happen to you, even not the other neighbor. But there we are. So there's a sense of formation we give to the leaders we ever elect. May they be priests, may they be leaders in community. And that is also should spill over to our even politicians, to even our leaders of different scenarios. So it is necessary to find a way of forming these people. Even you know that happens also in communities, in small Christian communities. You have, electing is not enough. They need a formation. In fact, they change the language. Instead, kumuita mtu mwenyekiti, or the chairman, I hear people calling others new names, which goes with the function. Muhudumu wa afya, the one who serves others in the area of health. Muhudumu wa neno la Mungu, the one who serves others in the word of God. Muhudumu wa ujirani mwema, a person who is available to walk with the neighbors. So even the language, either in Swahili or even the local language, they don't use those other titles. Mwenyekiti. Mwenyekiti sounds like a one who decides everything. So there's a embracing a new understanding of what the church of the synodality is all about. There's a fifth one. Let us integrate synodal methodologies in our seminaries. We are talking about formation now, seminaries and home houses of formation.
Archbishop Martin Kivuva of Mombasa Archdiocese and Vice Chairman of the Commission for Social Communications of the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops. And that's all for this edition of the African Synod. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
Welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. The vocations team of the Little Children of Our Blessed Lady, also known as the LCBO Sisters, have initiated a novena to pray for more vocations in priesthood and religious life in Zimbabwe. Reports from the country say the church is experiencing a severe shortage of vocations. The novena is open to everyone. Wherever you are, you can participate in the prayer. We are privileged to host Notenda Ganga, one of the novena participants. Could you kindly introduce yourself?
My name is Notenda Ganga from St. Francis Xavier Brayside in the Archdiocese of Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm currently studying for a diploma in registered nursing in Lusaka, Zambia, and a member of the Path to Sisterhood group, which was formed by the LCBO Sisters in Zimbabwe at the beginning of July Vocation Month.
Could you tell us, Notenda, why you are participating in the ongoing novena with the LCBO Sisters in Zimbabwe?
No, thank you. I'm touched by the decline of vocations in our country, and I believe that this novena to the Sacred Heart of Jesus could make a difference. So, as pilgrims of hope, we believe that hope does not disappoint.
What does this novena mean to you as a Catholic?
So a novena is a 9-day period of prayer to God for seeking special graces or blessings through the intercession of particular saints. So for us, we are praying for more vocations in our country, and we hope that our many voices will bring results.
Okay, when did this novena start, and what are you really asking from God?
So we started our novena on the 23rd of July, and we will be finishing it on the 31st of July. So the reason why we are praying this novena is we have a shortage of priests and religious brothers and sisters in the country, and in fact, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Could you explain to us the kind of activities that priests, religious brothers and sisters do in the Catholic Church in Zimbabwe?
So, thank you. I'll start with the priests. Priests play a vital role in our communities. They provide spiritual guidance and they administer sacraments. They also inspire our people by their way of life. Then moving on to the sisters. Sisters are involved in various apostolates. They serve in hospitals and schools, for there is more spirituality in education and healthcare. They do pastoral work in which they teach catechism and participate in many other pastoral activities.
As a young person, Tinotenda, what encouragement would you give to the listeners concerning the novena which is going on?
Personally, I would love to invite everyone to join us in this novena as we pray for more vocations in the Catholic Church. And let's come together to ask God to pour out his blessings and call more people to save him.
Thank you very much, Tinotenda Ganga. And thank you for participating in this interview.
You're welcome.
That was Tinotenda Ganga, one of the participants in the ongoing novena to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life in Zimbabwe. She was speaking from Lusaka, Zambia. That is all we had for you today. I am Sister Mfaro Chakwinga.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.